Steelers Nation, the Steelers continue to bring in all these new coaches as a new time and a new era under Mike McCarthy. The coaching hires continue, and they're getting really down to the final position coaches and the final expanded roles for the new coaching staff that we will have to get used to. The Steelers have a new defensive coordinator, as we mentioned in our last upload, Patrick Graham's new defensive coordinator. Now the Steelers officially have a new offensive coordinator, has been confirmed by the team. The new offensive coordinator is Brian Angelico.
Yes, that's right. Brian Angelico, who, just like a lot of the coaches that Mike McCarthy is bringing in, has some prior history with McCarthy, but most recently he was the passing game coordinator and tight ends coach with the Minnesota Vikings. He held that role from 2022 up until last season, of course, and now he is our new offensive coordinator. Now, he won't be the play caller because McCarthy already confirmed in his opening presser that he will be calling the plays, but Angelico will still have a hell of an input in the playbook and the scheme. I am sure in that.
Sure, and the fact that he's coming in, he's pretty much lateraling Elliott with a promotion. He's going to be helping with the game plan in the offense. Like Rob stated, McCarthy's running the offense. So to some people, the OC position might not be viewed as such an important need or an important role, or what's the point if McCarthy's calling the plays? The point is it's another mind added to the offensive game plan, and he's going to help rally the team, rally the troops, and he's really going to hopefully help develop with his experience as a passing game coordinator, seeing what he did with the Vikings under several quarterbacks, including Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold mostly, as well as backups such as Josh Dobbs, former Steeler.
That's right. That's right. I forgot he was a Viking. Wow.
Nick Mullins. Who was another one? I obviously nine. J.J. McCarthy, most recent example.
He plays like a backup, that's for sure. And, of course, the backup that they had, the undrafted rookie who just did not do well.
No. I think that's more of a nine thing, if you're asking me.
Yeah.
There's just something about nine. J.J. McCarthy, he's not it. He's not it.
No, just not clicking for Minnesota. No.
But the good thing about Brian Angelico is he has a long history of being a tight end coach. Like, literally, he started in Pittsburgh. Yes, Pittsburgh, as the tight end coach. And then he held that position at Rutgers in 2011, which finally got him to the NFL in the beginning stages of 2012 with the Buccaneers. He held that position for his first 2 years there, and then was the Browns' tight end coach from 2014 to 2015. Then, the connection to Mike McCarthy, he lateraled from the Pat to the Packers from 2016 to 2018. Then with the then Redskins in 2019. Then the Panthers from 2020 to 2021. And most recently and lengthily with the Vikings as their tight end coach, as well as their pass game coordinator, where they saw an increase in some quarterback play. So I think this is one of those hires that's, it's going to be looked at as, let's see how it plays out. We're going to have to see how it goes to really judge it. You know, would I have preferred a younger option or somebody that's a little bit more of a quarterback-friendly type of coach, more of like a quarterback coach turned offensive coordinator? Now, they did try to interview two Saints assistants. They did interview Scott Tolzien and their tight end coach, Chase Haslett. But they both elected to remain with Kellen Moore and the New Orleans Saints.
Yes.
So they interviewed those two guys, which were the two young guys that had some connection to McCarthy, but they elected to stay in New Orleans. So he brings in an old friend, Brian Angelico, who does have a pit root just a little bit. But this is actually his first time ever being an offensive coordinator. Like, he finally gets the much-deserved promotion. And the reason I say much-deserved is because he's held down the tight end position for so many teams for the past essentially decade and a half in the NFL, and working under Kevin O'Connell. Like, Kevin O'Connell did not want him to go. The Vikings tried hard. They tried to make a strong case to keep him. However, I mean, he's not going to turn down a promotion when he can finally get promoted to the offensive coordinator position, which I'm sure he's been interviewed for other roles in the past. Never got the job, but now he finally does. He's not doing the play calling duties, but he's still going to have a hand in the game plan and working as you know, another offensive mind under Mike McCarthy, somebody that McCarthy knows. He knows McCarthy's scheme. It kind of works out. It's one of those meh hires, because I would have preferred somebody like a Kingsbury, who obviously, like, we knew he was never going to come in because he's not coming in if he's not going to play calling duties.
Yeah, I mean, like, I always thought that it was going to be a fit. I thought it was a fine fit with Cliff Kingsbury and the Steelers just based off the mission that the Steelers have with McCarthy's resume with quarterbacks, and of course you add Kingsbury's resume with quarterbacks. It's like, that's the mission, is to develop or find a franchise. It's like, it would have been a fine pairing, but it's like, if Kingsbury's not the play caller because he left the Commanders to explore better coaching opportunities.
Right.
And that was not going to be with the Steelers if he wasn't going to be the play caller. So it just wasn't going to work out. As much as I would have liked it to happen, it just wasn't.
No, so the Steelers eventually settled and are confirmed to hire Brian Angelico as their offensive coordinator. So the Steelers have a new offensive coordinator, and this is what, their fourth offensive coordinator since the Todd Haley days? We've had five offensive coordinators going all the way back to the Todd Haley days. So it's been Todd Haley, Randy Fichtner, Matt Canada, Arthur Smith, and now Brian Angelico. Although, yes, McCarthy will be running and calling the plays, Angelico will definitely have his hand in the pot for sure. So
yeah,
I'll be very interested to see what he can bring to the table, seeing that he was the passing game coordinator, especially under O'Connell, and they got that good relationship, and he was a strong asset to that. So we'll see what he can bring to the table now that he's getting an elevated role, a promotion pretty much for him for the first time in his coaching career in the NFL. So good for Angelico.
Yeah.
And this is just one of those, we're gonna see how it plays out.
But, I mean, this was a man that was basically working with O'Connell in Minnesota since day one, since O'Connell was the head coach for the Vikings since 2022. He was with them since day one. And, you know, obviously the talent and the star playmakers that they have on the offense, a guy like Justin Jefferson, of course, or even considering he was also the tight end coach, TJ Hockenson, you know, working with talent like that. So he kind of has an understanding of, like, how to utilize his talent or what to do with this talent that he's working with as a passing game coordinator.
This might actually be a good thing for the tight end and our tight end room. Oh, dude, specifically Muth.
Or, you know, Darnell Washington when he comes back healthy, recovering from his injury and whatnot. It's like, yes, considering how underutilized the tight ends basically were. And I'm not,
for a long time.
And I'm not counting Jonu Smith. I consider him a cap casualty. I'm just focused on Muth and Washington for this upcoming season. It could really benefit the tight ends for sure. Just like, especially with the wide receiver two position still kind of a bit of a question mark, that's going to be something throughout free agency or the offseason overall to keep an eye out for. But like guys like Muth and Washington, a guy like him who knows how to use the tight ends, and him being the offensive coordinator to work with McCarthy, to work on the playbook, work on the scheme, work with the talent. Let's see what they can do.
Yep.
I can't hate on this hire because it's like you don't know what he's going to bring to the table. So it's like, be patient. Let's see what he can bring.
Absolutely. And yes, McCarthy did dig deep back into his old assistants and got Angelico to be the new offensive coordinator. Now, yes, they got a new OC, but there's plenty other roles that the Steelers did indeed fill, and there's more expanded roles in the coaching staff that they added, which is a good thing. You know, if you can take one good thing out of this entire Mike McCarthy coaching hire span, whether you want to look at the coaching staff in one way or another, or the circumstances of it, or all the connections, which we'll get into, one thing you can take away from this entire coaching cycle is he's really expanding the staff, which we all know we needed. It's something we've been begging for a long time. It's like, somebody open their wallets and let's bring in all these extra pieces. And McCarthy is doing just that.
Exactly.
So if there's one positive I got to give McCarthy for what's been happening the last week and a half, 2 weeks, is that he is really adding as many bodies and as many minds into the room as possible, which is a good thing. And that continues on the offensive side of the football, as the Steelers have a new senior offensive assistant. When was the last time we had a senior offensive assistant?
I think that was...
Was that Mike Sullivan?
Mike Sullivan, yes. Yes.
And Kenny Pickett's first year or something?
Yep. I believe so. Up until I think he then became the quarterback coach, if I'm not mistaken there. But Mike Sullivan was the first Steelers senior offensive assistant, and now we have a second senior offensive assistant in team history, and that is Frank Cignetti Jr.
Yes, Cignetti.
Yes, if that name rings a bell, he is the son of Frank Cignetti Sr., but obviously the younger brother of recent national champion head coach, Kirk Cignetti.
Yeah, so there's that Pittsburgh background right there.
Of course.
Frank Cignetti Jr. is going to be the Steelers' new senior offensive assistant. So a little bit of backstory on him. He has actually been coaching since 1990.
Long time.
Like he's 60 years old?
60 years old, you're correct.
Yeah, he's had a long coaching career going all the way back to IUP as their wide receiver coach beginning in 1990, where he worked under his father, Frank Cignetti Sr., who was the IUP head coach for two decades. So he stayed there holding down the wide receiver coach position, the defensive back coach position, the quarterback coach position, and then the offensive coordinator position up until, I want to say, 1999, where he finally made it to the NFL as an offensive assistant for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then the year after that, in 2000, he landed with the New Orleans Saints as their quarterback coach. In the year 2000, he stayed there for two seasons, pairing with offensive coordinator at the time, Mike McCarthy.
Yes.
So there you go.
Their ties go way back, bro. 26 years ago, way back.
Not only does he have Pittsburgh connections, because he was born and raised, he has connections with Mike McCarthy going back to when McCarthy first started with the Saints, and he was also paired with Omar Khan and Andy Waddle.
Yes,
they're getting the band back together,
folks. Oh, why the hell not, man? Why the hell not?
But, yeah, since then, he's held several, and I'm talking numerous, a variety of roles at several colleges and NFL teams. But his last NFL coaching role was the quarterback coach for the Green Bay Packers in 2018, Mike McCarthy's final season.
Yep.
Since then, he's been the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator for both Boston College and Pittsburgh, the Panthers. And most recently, reunited with IUP as their OC just last year. Now, he comes back into the NFL, pairing once again for a third time with Mike McCarthy as the Steelers' senior offensive assistant. I'll say one thing about this is he's the senior offensive assistant, so he's going to bring in a lot of ideas from a variety of roles and positions that he's coached prior. The wide receiver position, the quarterback position, the OC position, an offensive assistant. He's got all these prior roles that he's going to come in, and he's just going to be an extra mind to add to the offense, which will hopefully just improve the offense as a whole. As we all know, it needs to.
Yeah, and it's a fine role for Frank Cignetti Jr. I mean, like, if we were talking maybe as a an offensive coordinator, I think that would have just
disaster. Or even a quarterback coach.
No, to which Tom Arth is holding down that role still. He was brought back, which I feel like was a good decision on Mike McCarthy's behalf. But
and that's going to help a guy like Will Howard.
Of course, but Frank Cignetti Jr. as an offensive coordinator, I don't think it would have worked out because he did have a previous stint at that in 2015 with the then St. Louis Rams, to which that year he only lasted 12 games as the Rams had very, very bad NFL lows that year, to which he was, of course, fired.
Yeah, he's not an NFL caliber OC, but if you're going to add an expanded role and bring in another trusted mind from McCarthy's side, obviously McCarthy was going to bring him in. So, a lot of you guys wanted Kurt Cignetti when Tomlin stepped down. You can only settle for his brother. I'm sorry. Kurt is going to stay with Indiana, as he should, because he's completely turned that entire college around. They won their first national championship since World War II.
Yeah.
And he's a forever college coach. His brother, I guess that's all you can get. So, beggars can't be choosers. So, but Frank Cignetti is going to be our senior offensive assistant. Now, I'll also mention, because I bring up that they're adding expanded roles and they're retaining prior coaches from Tomlin's staff. They were going to retain three, which was Tom Arth, the quarterback coach, Scott McCurley, the linebacking coach, and originally they were going to retain Gerald Alexander. However, he was hired by the Vikings, and he's going to pair back with Brian Flores, which is a damn good addition for the Vikings.
Yes, it is.
So that means we were having a hole at the defensive back position. So the Steelers hired Jason Simmons prior to Gerald Alexander being mentioned and officially announced as going to the Vikings for the same role. Jason Simmons was originally announced to be hired for a prominent defensive role. That role is now officially going to be the defensive pass game coordinator and the defensive backs coach. So he's taking Gerald Alexander's position while retaining his position that he had most recently with the Washington Commanders as the defensive pass game coordinator. So he's going to have two roles for the same, which is a good thing for him because, I mean, for what he's done in Washington. Now, I know Washington's defense hasn't been good the last number of years, and that's mostly been at the hands of someone else the Steelers brought in. Not for the DC role, obviously, but we'll get into that shortly. But what he's done in that area has been pretty solid. Now he's going to come in and work two roles as a position coach. Now that we know what his prominent role is, there you go. Plus, obviously, he has prior experience with McCarthy as he was hired under McCarthy in Green Bay as a defensive assistant and a secondary coach.
Yeah, that's exactly how he got into coaching, first and foremost. So,
and he worked under McCarthy for 8 years in Green Bay.
Yep, so a full circle moment for McCarthy and Jason Simmons. Plus, Simmons was once a football player, safety at that, drafted by the Steelers in the fifth round in 1998.
So now he reunites and now is going to be developing the position that he played. So there you go there. Steelers hire former Commanders defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. Now, when the defensive coordinator position was being brought up, oh, who could McCarthy bring in as his DC? Joe Witt Jr. was a name that was brought up by a lot of people. He wasn't interviewed for the position, thank God. Actually, Jason Simmons was interviewed. He didn't get it. Patrick Graham got it. They still got Jason Simmons for two roles. Joe Witt was not interviewed, thank God, because he's not a good DC. He's not. What he did with the Commanders was just not good at all.
No, underwhelming.
But as a position coach, that's a good one because that's exactly what they're bringing him in for. They're going to bring in Joe Witt Jr. as their secondary coach as well as an assistant head coach. The Steelers haven't had an assistant head coach since, I believe, John Mitchell.
John Mitchell, yeah, up until 2022. He was a longtime assistant head coach. He held that role from 2007 to 2022 when he finally retired.
And he was a defensive line coach up until Carl Dunbar was hired. Now, I think he just got hired by the Jets, so good for him.
Oh, did he? The Jets? Yeah. Well, listen, the Jets finally got a good coach.
Yeah, right. Yeah, go figure, right?
Yeah.
Good for Carl Dunbar. But no, the Steelers, they finally fulfilled that assistant head coach role with Joe Witt Jr., their first since John Mitchell. But not only did they bring in Jason Simmons for the defensive backs coach position, they're going to bring in Joe Witt as a secondary coach. So two of the same, but still a little bit different. But what Joe Witt has done as the secondary coach and as like the, especially the cornerback coach, for the Packers under Mike McCarthy, another Mike McCarthy connection.
Mm-hmm.
He was the quarterback or the cornerbacks coach under McCarthy for, God, almost 10 years.
Cornerbacks coach? He was the cornerbacks coach from 2009 to 2017 for Green Bay.
But he was under McCarthy a lot longer than that. Like he and McCarthy were together for essentially McCarthy's entire run as the Packers.
Yeah, he started off in 2008 as the defensive quality control coach. Then became a cornerbacks coach in 2009, held that role to 2017, then became the passing game coordinator in 2018 in McCarthy's final year.
Yes.
But then they ultimately reunited in Dallas with the Cowboys in 2021 when Joe Witt became their pass game coordinator and secondary coach and held that role till 2023, up until he got the job as a DC for the Commanders in 2024.
Right, where he obviously had a connection under Dan Quinn. And he also had a connection with Dan Quinn because he was the passing game defensive pass game coordinator and secondary coach for the Falcons, as well as the Browns before he got hired back by McCarthy when McCarthy was the Cowboys head coach. So there were two connections that made him the Commanders' defensive coordinator, which was Dan Quinn because of the Falcons and then with the Cowboys because they worked together. And he was not a good DC for the Commanders to the point that Dan Quinn took over play calling duties and Joe Witt was fired. Joe Witt Jr. was fired after the season.
Yeah.
Now he reunites with McCarthy for the third time and is going to be brought in as our secondary coach as well as the assistant head coach. As a position coach, he's really good. He's just fine. It reminds me a lot of Terrell Austin. Terrell Austin's not a good defensive coordinator, but as a secondary guy, as a position coach, listen, he's really good because when Terrell Austin was first brought in, when he was fired by the Bengals, and then the Steelers brought him in as a secondary coach, he elevated the room. Then he became DC. He was promoted. Didn't turn out well.
Mm-mm.
Same thing with Joe Witt. Very similar. He's not a good DC, but when you put him as a position-only guy, he can elevate talent. He's someone that knows how to develop players, and he's developed a lot of ball hawks around the league, especially for the Cowboys. So as a secondary guy, I think this is a good hire because he knows what he's got to do. He knows how to develop talent in that area. It sucks losing Joe Alexander because I think he's been a big reason for the development and especially the uprise in a career of years, essentially, for JPJ and James Pierre.
Of course.
Losing him sucks, but getting Joe Witt is as much of an even trade as we could ask for, because he has the background and the track record to hold that role. And, of course, the McCarthy connection. Again, he reunites with him for the third time.
Yeah, as a secondary coach, I mean, that's just where he flourishes. I mean, that's his natural position as a coach. Like, that's where he gets the most out of his coaching career. And he's always all about, you know, like, ball is life. You got to get the ball, you know. He's developed very good ball hawks in his coaching career and whatnot. And that's always been the Steelers' mentality and their philosophy on defense is you got to attack the ball, you got to get the ball, which is a good one to have. And it's been successful. And to bring in a guy like Witt to kind of continue that trend, you can't hate it. As long as he stays as the secondary coach, I have no problem with this. It's fine.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he's going to be. He's going to be a secondary coach, and I'm hoping he can continue to develop some of the young guys we have in that room, including JPJ. Maybe we bring back James Pierre. Dante Kent, don't forget, seventh rounder last year out of Central Michigan. We'll see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Trice, if he can stay healthy. I don't have my hopes up, but I'll add his name out there, right? There's a lot of youth in the secondary, and it's probably going to get younger because I think we ought to potentially draft a corner and a safety. So we're going to need those guys, those veterans at those positions to coach up the young dudes. So those two hires to help with the secondary, Jason Simmons and Joe Witt Jr., I think are good positional hires. Obviously, they have the McCarthy connection. McCarthy trusts them, but they have the background. They have the track record to prove that they have developed some guys wherever he's gone. They've had good success everywhere. So I think those are good positional hires, especially for the secondary. Moving on, man, continuing with the defense. Steelers have a new outside linebacker coach. They did not retain Denzel Martin, which sucks because shout to Denzel Martin. He did really good for the development of Nick Herbig and even Jack Soya in his rookie season.
That he did, yeah.
But the Steelers have a new outside linebacker coach, and it's actually a first-time NFL hire for this guy. This guy has never coached in the NFL before. The Steelers have hired Sean Howell. He was the Montana State defensive coordinator for this past year, but he also held several roles for them for the past five seasons. So he just came off his first full year as full-time defensive coordinator, but the previous 4 years, he was the co-DC, defensive line coach, and defensive run game coordinator before finally getting that spot as primary sole DC. But now he's finally getting an NFL coaching job. He actually has 2 decades of college experience as a coach. But
wow.
He's been to a variety of schools. He's been to most recently Montana State, but he's been to Rocky Mountain, where he originally started in 2004 as the outside linebacking coach, holding that position for the first 2 years. And then he went to NC State, Memphis, Tennessee, USC, Humboldt State, Dixie State, and Coastal Carolina. He's been everywhere. And now he's finally getting a job in the NFL, and he's a young coach at 44 years old. So when McCarthy was talking about you want that experience, you want that expertise, but you want the young, hungry guys, the guys that are going to have grit and they're going to grind, this is who he's talking about. 44 years old. It took 2 decades for him to get to the NFL, and you know he's worked along the defensive line. He's worked along the outside linebacker position. He's worked around the run game, obviously calling plays for Montana State last year. So this is going to be a good opportunity for him. And one thing I like about it is this is one of the very few hires that McCarthy has went out and got that does not have a connection to McCarthy.
Yeah, it's a good thing. You know, it's, for him to grind throughout the college lengths of whatnot, what he said, 2 decades?
2 decades.
2 decades. Like, this is a huge opportunity for him. And a guy like McCarthy, you know, he kept his eye on him for sure, seeing what he was doing. It's like a guy like him, you know, busting his ass off at the college level, can't pass up on an opportunity like this to work with a guy like T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Nick Herbig, Jack Soya. You know what
I'm
saying?
He's got a great edge group to work behind.
Great edge room. It's going to suck losing Denzel Martin. It really is. I mean, he did a great job, but, you know, a guy like him, this is a huge opportunity for a guy like Sean Howell. You know what? Good for him.
It is because, you know, he's a young coach that's ready for this fresh opportunity, right? Getting into the big leagues. He's working with a great group. And maybe this is somebody that's going to be young and innovative, somebody that's going to work his way up the ranks. So I'm definitely all for this, man. This is the kind of hires that we've been wanting. Like, I get going for all the connections and the expertise and the familiarity with the scheme and everything and the track record they have. But getting somebody new and somebody you don't have experience with is the gamble you ought to take, because they just might be the guys that might elevate your group to the best. So we'll see what Howe does. Sean Howe is the new Steelers outside linebacking coach. We have a new defensive line coach. As I mentioned, Carl Dunbar is now the defensive line coach for the Jets. He's been with the Steelers for a long time, since 2018, and he's been with us ever since. He's elevated literally every starter we've had, going down to Chris Wormley and Montrevious Adams and guys like that, right? Obviously, Tuitt and Hayward and Hargrave and Benton and
Y.A. Black
and Derek Harmon most recently, right? Carl Dunbar's a great guy. And it sucks to see him go, but after a while, I guess it's just time. The Steelers got a new defensive line coach, DeMata Pecco. Yes, that DeMata Pecco.
Yeah, if that name rings a bell, he was a former Bengals nose tackle for, what, 10 years, I want to say? From 2006 to 2016.
He was a mid-round selection, and I remember growing up watching the Steelers-Bengals rivalry when it was probably at its peak, dude. And this guy, I always noticed him mostly because of that long hair. But
well, he's Samoan.
He's a big body in the middle of that defense. And one of the biggest plays I remember him doing was he lined up at fullback in 2010 on Monday Night Football versus the Bengals. And it was Cedric Benson that ran into the end zone, but it was at the lead block from DeMata Pecco. He trucked Troy Polamalu in the end zone.
Yep, yep.
I remember that. And one thing I remember about him the most is every time he'd get a tackle for loss or he'd make a stop on the run or get a sack, he'd always do the little tummy dance.
Yep, yep.
He'd rub his belly and do a little dance. I think DeMata Pecco and Wyatt Black are going to make for one hell of a duo.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's funny enough because Wyatt Black wears 94 and Pecco repped that number for the Bengals for the longest time.
Yes.
So it's just like, you know, it's like match made in heaven. It kind of fits.
Yeah, but it's the old rival coming to the
dark
side.
It's one of those names you think, like, you never think that he'd, considering how long he was a Bengal, he never coached for a rival, especially a Steelers like that. As a matter of fact, I remember searching his name up on social media to get more info on him. I remember an old Bleacher Report article from 2016 when the rivalry was at its peak, and Pecco said there's no love for them. He called the Steelers pieces of bleep. I'll let you finish the end of that. And then now, 10 years later, he is now the new defensive line coach for the Steelers.
It took 10 years to have a change of heart. How about that?
Hey, listen, man, time heals all wounds.
DeMata Pecco is our new defensive line coach. Now, here's a little backstory. He's 41 years old, so he's one of the younger coaches that we have on the staff. He's also one of the more inexperienced. He only has 2 years of coaching experience, starting in 2024 as a defensive assistant under
Mike McCarthy
with the Cowboys. Last year in 2025, he was with the Colorado Buffaloes under Deion Sanders as their defensive line coach. And now he finally gets his first time NFL defensive line coach role with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he's going to be working with a stacked group. We don't know what the future holds for Cam Hayward. We do not. We'll see if he comes back or not.
Mm-hmm.
But Derek Harmon, Y.A. Black, Logan Lee, Keanu Benton, however many other players you want to add in there, Otomwey or Ziggy, you know, so many other guys.
Yeah.
You want to add up into that group.
They very well could, you know, draft another defensive lineman considering they have 12 picks. It's not far-fetched.
Right.
You know, just to add depth or maybe even, you know, develop a potential starter. Nonetheless, Pecco's got a lot of talented defensive linemen to work with.
He does, but he's also an inexperienced coach, but he's a former player. He's a former player, and he was a smart one for the Bengals, and, you know, he had a lot of success in the league. So I think that coming into his role as a defensive line coach position for what is going to be a very young trenches for the next several years, ideally with Harmon, ideally with Black, ideally with Benton, and maybe another guy they want to add, right? I think this could be a really good hire. I'm very excited for this one because it's a mystery because he's inexperienced at the position, but I'm all for giving him the opportunity because let's see what he can do. Let's see what he can bring to the table. You know, he's got that connection under McCarthy. McCarthy wants to bring him back in, right? It was a brief connection for a year, but it was enough for McCarthy to give him a call and be like, hey, come on over. We want to bring you into the staff, work with all this young talent, that Tomlin and Khan gave McCarthy. So Pecco, we'll see what he can bring to the table. As a former player, you know he's going to bring that passion and that grit to the position and into his coaching. And yeah, I'm kind of excited for this.
Yeah, I mean, like, Pecco's another one of those hires that McCarthy brought in that is intriguing. I could say that for a lot of the hires that McCarthy's done, but Pecco for sure is one of them.
Yeah.
Considering how long that he was a player, and he was a very good player at that for the Bengals. It's still funny that he's now coaching for the team that he used to torment, you know, when he would try to stop the run or even sack Big Ben and whatnot. But no, he is now a part of the Steelers as a defensive line coach. I'm interested to see what he can do, what he can bring out, especially the young guys with Harmon and Black coming to their second year. Ben, too, is, I believe, his fourth year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, like he's got some guys to work with. So we'll see what he can bring to the table.
But if you would have told me like 10 years ago when I saw him do his little sack belly rub dance that he would have been the Steelers defensive line coach in 10 years, I wouldn't have believed you. But here we are. It's crazy how the rivalry works out sometimes. Moving on, man. Steelers have a new defensive quality control coach. I cannot tell you the last time we had one of these. So this is just another position that is further expanding the coaching staff under McCarthy. Steelers hire Pat Riley as a defensive quality control coach. A little background on him. He was previously with the Jags for the same role. Now, that was before he joined the Texans just last year as an offensive assistant. But now he's going to get the same role that he had with the Jags for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Also got to mention, when he was with the Jags, he was also the assistant linebacker coach. So when it comes to what he's going to bring to the table, where he really favors in that area, it's probably going to be towards the linebackers. The linebackers or the defensive line. Before he got into the NFL, he also worked with Alabama and UCLA for a variety of roles, but including the defensive analyst. So when you ask, like, what's he going to do or what's his role going to be, it's going to be more so about helping the game plan and work closely with the defense. And, you know, he's been around so many defenses and coaches around the league that he's kind of like a sponge. He's kind of soaked up a lot of knowledge. He's picked apart some of the pieces from the coaches that he has been around. So that's going to be his role. Is he's really going to help with the game planning and kind of finalizing things before game day. So I think that's just another way for McCarthy to expand the coaching staff. It's another expanded role for the defense, which isn't a bad thing because more the merrier.
Yeah, of course, not at all. You know, expand the coaching staff, and that's exactly what he's doing with Pat Riley here with this coaching position right here. So, and it seems like his background is a lot with the linebackers. So, you know, the Steelers are keeping Scott McCurley as the linebacker coach. We'll see what he can do to kind of pair with him and see, try to get the best out of specifically a Peyton Wilson coming into his third year and whatnot. So we'll see what he can do.
Definitely. And to close it out, folks, we have a new special teams coordinator. Yes, we do. Steelers hired Danny Crossman as a new special teams coordinator. So they go from Danny Smith, who's with the Bucs now, to Danny Crossman. If there's two things we know for sure about the Pittsburgh Steelers and their requirements about being a coach, it is you either got to have a Pittsburgh connection or your name's got to be Mike or Danny.
Yep.
And then you got the job.
Yeah, can't really change the name tags on their doors.
No.
No.
No, you really can't. Danny Crossman, he's been a special teams coordinator essentially his entire career. But he's been the special teams coordinator. He's had some special teams coordinating in the NFL since 2003, starting with the Panthers as their special teams assistant, then their special teams coach, then their special teams coordinator. And he stayed there up until 2010 when he was hired by the Lions for the same coordinator role. He stayed there up until he moved with the Bills, starting in 2013, and stayed up until 2018, where he was then hired under Brian Flores with the Dolphins in 2019, where he held that special teams coordinator role all the way up until 2024 when he was fired. And in 2025, he did not have any coaching roles anywhere. So now he is finally coming back to the same role that he held for so long with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But this is one that concerns me because I think this is a massive downgrade at the special teams coordinator position, because all I hear about this guy, especially from Dolphins fans, is that this guy was terrible. And I got some ranks for you in regards to that statement and maybe backing up some of those Dolphins fans disapproval of Danny Crossman.
Yeah, let's dive into him.
In 2019, the special teams rank for the Dolphins was 27th. In 2020, they ranked 28th. In 2021, they ranked 17th. In 2022, they ranked dead last at 32. Mm. 2023, they ranked 29th. And in his last year, 2024, they ranked 31st, ranking second to last. Then he was fired by Mike McDaniel. In 2024, the Dolphins special teams unit ranked 21st in yards per punt return, 22nd in yards per kick return, and 32nd dead last in opponent's yards per kick return. Miami also committed 21 penalties on special teams in 2024, tied for fourth most in the NFL that year.
My God.
Also, Miami's...
Wow.
The Dolphins' opponent's starting field position after kick return in 2024 was the 30.7 yard line, which was the fifth highest in the league.
Yeah, that's,
this guy's not good.
That is not a good resume. I mean, that's just with the Dolphins alone.
And it just appeared like every year the Dolphins would sign a good special teams guy or a special teams ace, and it wouldn't matter. Or they'd give up a bunch of return touchdowns, or they give up a lot of big punt or kick returns, and it would give the opposing offense a great field position. I'm hoping that's not the case here, and I'm hoping that year off, that, you know, he can work with guys like Carson Bruner, who was an absolute great rookie on special teams, a complete special teams ace, is he going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Skowronek, who's a Pro Bowler this year. You know, he's an incredible special teamer, one of the best in the league. Miles Killebrew, special teams captain. I'm sure the Steelers are going to keep him around. When he gets healthy, he's a great special teams guy. Same thing with Connor Hayward, right? They got special teams guys that have made plays. They got special teams people that just know how to play ball. Peyton Wilson saw a lot of special teams time, which I don't know why, and I'm hoping that isn't a constant for his third year.
No.
But if they want to put him there, he's got the speed to do it. So they got gunners. They got aces there. You know, he's got a variety of players to work with, does Danny Crossman with the special teams unit. He's got Boswell, you know?
Yeah, like Chris Boswell, like, exactly.
But based off his special teams ranks with the Dolphins in his last several years or his entire Dolphins career and the players they had, they weren't good. So I'm hoping he doesn't come in and water that down.
No, like he's like the names that you just mentioned, like he's got the talent to work with, and they're very good talent. They're very good special teams talent, right? But as a coach, especially a coordinator, it is your duty, it is your job to have them
elevated
and have them reach their peak. As a coach,
overall. I always say you're only as good as coaching.
Of course. And Danny Crossman, for what he did for Miami, it just, I mean, like Dolphins fans, they were ecstatic when he was fired. Some people even said that it was a long overdue because of how long that they kept him.
Yeah.
Now, why the Dolphins kept him, I don't know. That could have been because they had Jason Sanders. When he was healthy, he was a good kicker. Jake Bailey, I think he was a Pro Bowl punter by the time the Dolphins signed him. Jakeem Grant, I know he was a good return specialist when he was a Dolphin at one point, but it's like, still, the rankings speak for themselves. Like, the numbers don't lie right there. I mean, like, we'll see what he can bring to the table. I'm not a fan of his resume, but let's just hope that he, like you said, doesn't water down the special teams and water down the talent that we have.
I'll be interested to see if he can get us some good return specialists, because one thing we haven't had in a long time, I swear to God, since Antonio Brown, is a return specialist. We haven't had that guy. We haven't had a good punt return. We haven't had a good kick return in a few years. So I'm hoping he can at least give us that. If he can give us that, this is a good hire. But we'll see what he can do. But Danny Crossman is our new special teams coordinator. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say they should hire this guy and that guy. I don't know. I don't have a list of special teams coordinators ready to go of, oh, they should hire this guy. Because I don't do that.
Yeah,
kind of,
I mean, like, I had no idea who this man was when Tom Pelissero put out the tweet.
Now, I know the Steelers requested to interview Brown special teams coordinator Bubba Ventrone, like, last week before the Rams hired him. He's not any good either, because the Browns ranked dead last in punt return yards allowed.
Yeah, not good.
So
not good.
Maybe this team is just attracted to mediocre or poor defense or special teams coordinators, but I'm hoping Danny Crossman come in and make some sort of change or some sort of impact, or at least give us some good quality return specialists, because I think we got the aces and we got the people in that room that know what to do. But in terms of getting us better field position or getting us some speed or agility or some actually good return guys for the kick and return or kick and punt return duties.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he can at least do that. Hopefully he can do us a solid right there. But There we go. Danny Crossman is our new special teams coordinator. So we have most of our coordinator roles, actually all of our coordinator roles filled. And the only thing we really have to worry about and look out for in terms of position roles or any extra, you know, expanded roles that Mike McCarthy wants to potentially bring in is we still don't have a tight end coach. We don't. So we don't know who that could be. Maybe he laterals Lunda Wells as he interviewed him. What was it? A week or a week and a half ago?
Something like that,
for
yeah.
For the OC position, maybe they lateral him over. They could still look for a running game coordinator. They have a pass game coordinator. You can definitely get a run game coordinator. Same thing with the defensive side. They have a pass game coordinator defensively. Maybe they want to add that to the defense too. So it's just one of those things where you could look at it as they're not done. They still have certain roles to fill, and maybe they want to continue to expand because that's always a good thing. So we'll see what McCarthy and the Steelers do as we continue on in this coaching period and this coaching hiring cycle as we inch closer and closer to the complete offseason, as it is going to be Super Bowl Sunday this Sunday. Hopefully it's a good game.
Go Seahawks.
Yeah, I got the Seahawks.
I don't want to see the Patriots win the 7th Super Bowl. I don't.
Me neither.
I don't think anybody does. Nobody. So go Seahawks. Well,
no wonder we don't want them to win the 7th Super Bowl.
Yes, yes. It's bad enough we tied them, or they tied
us.
They tied us. They tied us, excuse me. It would be worse just to see them just take the title. Like, no. No. So Seattle, do your job, please.
Yeah, I'm
don't pass it at the 1 yard line, okay?
Sam Darnold, you better not shit the bed.
I'm predicting a 3-touchdown game for Sam Darnold. I'm being serious.
Three. Is all three gonna be the JSN?
If that's the case, JSN's Super Bowl MVP.
For gambling reasons.
I know what you're putting down.
I already put it down. I put it down.
Okay, all right, there you go.
I put it down like 2
weeks
ago.
Well, listen, let me say this. If JSN gets 2 touchdowns, I think he's MVP.
I hope so. I don't know, man. It should be interesting. I can't wait for it. But yes, that is the update on the coaching period or the coaching cycle, the coaching hires for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We have a new DC. We have a new OC. We have a new ST coordinator. Overall, I got to say, it's a solid staff. It's looking better than what Tomlin had for the past number of years, obviously because there's more bodies. And I also got to mention before we get out of here, dude, I got to mention before we get on out of here, McCarthy has brought in 7 coaches. 7 coaches that he had in his last year at Green Bay. 7.
Wow.
7. That is McCarthy himself, along with Frank Cignetti Jr., Brian Angelico, James Campen, Jason Simmons, Patrick Graham, Scott McCurley, and Joe Witt were all on the 2018 Packers coaching staff, which was McCarthy's last year when he got fired.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Is it a little overbearing? Is it a little obnoxious?
Is it a little over the top?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. No, it's not, you know, a surprise, and it's not, you know, a foreign concept from bringing all these dudes that he had prior ties with. It's just a little much for my liking. But
is it a bad staff that he's putting together? I would say no. I think it's a fine staff.
Well, because most, if not all, of the hires that he's brought in has had success at their respective positions in the past. Some might be new to the position, but that's the exciting part about it. And that's the young and gritty and hungry coaches that he wanted to bring in along with all his expertise. So he's living up to what he said and the criteria he was looking for in the coaching staff when he had that opening press conference. So right. He's living up to what he said, and we'll see what this coaching staff does. It's solid. I'm liking it so far, but I don't think they're done yet. We still got some roles to fill, but let us know your guys' thoughts down in the comments below, and we'll see you in the next one. Here we go, Steelers.
And as always, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you later.
Peace!